Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix is the fifth film to be made from J.K. Rowling's blockbuster series of books about an orphaned boy wizard, his magical prep school, and his evil nemesis, Lord Voldemort. The film opens only 10 days ahead of a major publishing event, Rowling's conclusion to the saga. Film critic David Edelstein has a review of the latest Harry Potter movie.
As the mania builds for the seventh and last book in J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter series, the question hangs, will Harry get whacked? 10 days ahead of its release comes the fifth movie, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, which douses the final embers of childish wonder. Here is a landscape of sexual frustration, madness, fascism, and death. This is not a family movie. It's not even gothic horror like the last Potter movie, The Chilling Goblet of Fire. Order of the Phoenix is practically Orwellian. The palette is grainy and dank. The face is gray. The hero's alienation, festering. It's quite a change from director Christopher Columbus's Christmassy first movie, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, which hardly began to suggest the pagan energy and anger out of which Rowling's series was born. The books have been slammed by literary poobahs like Harold Bloom, but I love their balance between enchantment and dread. Order of the Phoenix is, in some ways, an improvement over Rowling's novel, which is mired in Harry's angst and builds to a climactic wand-off better ogled than read. That climax is an eye-popper. The director, David Yates, made the great British miniseries State of Play, a literate newspaper drama with a vein of sublimated violence. Here, he lets loose with horrific montages to evoke his hero's estrangement. A fixture in Harry's nightmares is Lord Voldemort, played by Ralph Fiennes, his features primordially puttyish. Hogwarts headmaster Dumbledore, played by Michael Gambon, has turned frosty and elusive. The oddly paranoid Ministry of Magic has mounted a campaign through its Pravda-like newspaper to discredit the notion of the Dark Lord's return from limbo, along with Harry's credibility. Above all, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix is dominated by Imelda Staunton, best known for Mike Leigh's Vera Drake, overacting gleefully as the latest and most blood-curdling defense against the dark arts teacher Dolores Umbridge. A stand-in for the ministry, she meets out ghastly punishment with a smile of mocking gentility and palpably loathes her students' youth and freedom.
Your previous instruction in this subject has been disturbingly uneven. But you'll be pleased to know, from now on, you will be following a carefully structured, ministry-approved course of defensive magic.
Yes.
There's nothing in here about using defensive spells.
Using spells? Well, I can't imagine why you would need to use spells in my classroom.
We're not going to use magic.
You will be learning about defensive spells in a secure, risk-free way.
Well, what use is that? If we're going to be attacked, it won't be risk-free.
Students will raise their hands when they speak in my class. It is the view of the ministry that a theoretical knowledge will be sufficient to get you through your examinations, which, after all, is what school is all about.
And how's theory supposed to prepare us for what's out there?
There is nothing out there, dear. Who do you imagine wants to attack children like yourself?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe Lord Voldemort.
The movie irons out a few of Rowling's intriguing dissonances, among them the morbidity of Harry's godfather Sirius Black, played by Gary Oldman. It also doesn't solve the problem of Harry's beloved, Cho Chang, played by Katie Leung, still a cipher, even in the course of a smooch with Harry heard round the world. But there is a marvelous turn by a young actress new to movies, Ivana Lynch, as the queerly introverted Luna Lovegood. This flake flutes her lines, but not always on key. The supporting cast is the usual embarrassment of British riches, plus Helena Bonham Carter as a cackling she-demon. Among the standbys, Alan Rickman as the supercilious Snape barely opens his mouth. The lines wheeze out like the low bass of a bellows. The central trio, Daniel Radcliffe's Harry, Emma Watson's Hermione, and Rupert Grint's Ron, is now on the far side of puberty, which makes me a little sad. but there's no stopping the wheel. Their aging brings thoughts of their mortality. Having confidently proclaimed that David Chase would not kill off Tony Soprano too early, I'm loath to predict what the final Potter book will bring. But Order of the Phoenix has me worried. How can Harry defeat everything murderously repressive in the world without making the ultimate sacrifice?
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine. If you want to catch up on programs you've missed, you can download podcasts of our show by going to our website, freshair.npr.org.